Good morning. I'm glad you're gathered. We are gathered today for Senior Chapel, an opportunity to feature some of our undergraduate seniors reflecting on how their faith has been formed during their EMU years. Questions that we offered for reflection, and they won't necessarily be answering these questions directly, but perhaps, or launched from them and found something of meaning. How has your faith changed, grown, or deepened while in college? And what have been the sources of your faith formation in your college years? In what ways has your faith been challenged while in college? And how have you navigated these challenges? How do you expect your faith will inform or guide your future endeavors? Of seven or so students who were invited, three responded with willingness. And they are first up, Ben Emsweiler in a little bit, and then Janaea Sachs and Lydia Tissue. And we're grateful that you are sharing your reflections. And we know that their reflections represent the stories of many others as well, and hope that for other seniors, as you're considering the meaning-making of your college years and what's coming next, that you'll be reflecting with others, with your family, with your friends, and journaling on these things. Toward the end of the chapel, we will host the music department faculty giving senior music awards. That's happening today because of not able to be here Friday for the student recognition chapel. And we hope that folks will be back on Friday where we recognize many students for achievements. And then following the senior music awards, we'll have a sending time for the summer cross-cultural groups. Any students representing those groups will be invited to come up and sit up front.
Good morning. Oh, good morning, Ben.
Okay. Good morning.
My name is Ben Emsweiler. Some of you know me. A few of you don't. And many of you probably don't even care what I have to say this morning, but that's too bad. Let's start with the Bible. I think that's a good place to start. So I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. Now, whether it was God or man who tested my heart while in college, my faith and heart were both surely tested. And I can say with certainty that my faith has changed, grown, and deepened while in college. For better or for worse, I'm still trying to figure that out. Before my time at EMU, faith was, for lack of a better word, simple. But with life challenges that came while I was in college, combined with all of my religion and Bible and theology classes, I began to overthink things. So now I find myself currently in the process of trying to connect with God on a more relational and spiritual level again. The primary sources of my faith formation while at EMU were, one, my friendships and relationships with people throughout the Harrisonburg community, and two, the Bible. As a lifelong resident of the area, I had already established connections with church communities. Also, I was able to maintain my relationship with all of my closest friends as well, as I can again say with confidence that that has been a primary source of my faith formation. Sometimes for better, but many times for worse. My inconsistent reading of the Bible has played a role as well. It seems that when I need to read Scripture, I avoid doing so. In other words, it's easy to worship God when everything is going right. And as I continue to get older and wiser, I know a lot of you probably still think I'm a kid, but I used to have to stretch before I played basketball, or I used to not have to stretch. Now I have to stretch or I can't get out of bed in the mornings. And I'm probably not really getting wiser, but I like to think that I am. I'm starting to realize that there's never going to be a time in life where everything is just right. So my only option is to continue my pursuit of the Lord and His will throughout whatever storm I may be going through. Because it's not a matter of if the storm is coming, but when. And yes, my faith has been challenged greatly while in college. I would rather not go into detail, but I can honestly say that I've navigated those hard times rather poorly. But God is good, and I'm still standing here with you today. So as I continue to search for what's next, for what God has in store for me, I fully expect my faith to guide my future endeavors. All I can do right now is try to get my heart right. How? Well, the other morning I was reading the Bible. I'd like to pretend I'm a good Christian and read the Bible every morning, but I don't. But I felt God giving me an answer to this the other morning on how to get my heart right. And I was reading Colossians in chapter 4 where Paul writes, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." And that stuck out to me, letting Christ rule in your hearts. And prioritizing Christ to where that's the only thing that's on your heart, the number one thing. And simply put, if I let the peace of Christ truly rule in my heart, truly allow that feeling to consume me and take me over from the inside, if I strive and desire to have the peace of Christ be on my heart more than anything else, then what do I have to worry about? It's not easy, but I encourage you guys to do the same. And that's what I'm currently working towards today at this exact moment. So thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Janaea Sachs, and I'm a chemistry major here. When I started at EMU, I was sure about a lot, but I knew little. However, as my faith has evolved, I've learned that I'm not as sure as I used to be. And I still know little, but I know a little more. Sometimes when I think back to those conversations about my faith freshman year, I find it a tad comical. 18-year-old me was just so sure. But I hope that in place of that sureness I used to have, I have a little more grace and a lot more room for mystery. I've learned more about how I see faith while in college. I realized that I'm part mystic and part intellectual. I need that mystical comfort with the unknown as much as I need a historical understanding of the stories that have shaped Christianity. I think it's precisely learning to walk in a balance between those two sides that has kept my faith alive. I've learned that I'll never know the answers, and those canned ones I used to know don't comfort me as much anymore. I've also learned, though, that there is more to the Bible than I ever imagined. The Bible isn't just a book of stories for Sunday school and rules to live by, though I used to think that. Instead, at EMU, I found that the Bible is an ever-speaking, large story, instead of that collection of stories I used to see it as. Cross-cultural to the Middle East helped to show me how those stories are the history and story of a people group. Cross-cultural both showed me how geography and history can inform our understanding of the Bible, but it also taught me how to sit with the unknown. Those stories might not be all archaeologically backed up, but that doesn't take away their value for me anymore. Instead, I see how the story of creation was liberating to a people in exile. While it might not make sense from a modern lens of science, it makes complete sense from an ancient lens of oppression. A day of rest for an enslaved people is an act of resistance. I see how the story of the Exodus brings hope to those people enslaved by a society that oppresses them. Thanks to EMU, I understand better how the Bible has spoken to people throughout generations, and in turn, it's began to speak to me in new ways. EMU has shaped my faith in so many more ways than in how I see the Bible, though. Thanks to campus ministries, I've learned the value of friendships that ground me in my faith, but also those that challenge me. I have friends with whom I see eye to eye with theologically, and they encourage me and help me develop my thoughts. But perhaps even more important are the friends that challenge my theology, encourage me to see if what I believe really works. However, I doubt that without the Bible studies and faith groups I've been fortunate enough to be a part of here in my time, that I would have been able to see that. It's thanks to mentors who walked alongside me that I feel comfortable leaning into my doubts and learning from them, because I know that they do that as well. And every day, my peers encourage me and inspire my faith. Perhaps that is what has shaped my faith the most here at EMU, the constant sense of community of believers. Thanks to a Mennonite history class, I know that's an Anabaptist distinctive, but thanks to the lived reality on campus, I know that it's vital to my faith. It's been in trusting groups of peers and mentors that I've been able to air out my questions, and it's those same wise people who don't hurry to answer them, but instead say, "I get that." EMU has let my faith go at its own pace, And thanks to that, I found a faith that I can claim as my own. I'm excited to head on to new adventures, as I know that this place has given me the much-needed grounding for my faith going forward. I don't know what my faith will look like in 4 years, but now I know that God will walk alongside me through doubts and struggles, and I've learned that here.
Good morning. I'm Lydia Tissue, and I'm a nursing major. In the spring of my sophomore year, I left for my cross-cultural to the Middle East. And while there, I lived into everything that was God with us. God felt near, he was active, he was answering prayer, he was challenging, and he was there in the chaos and the noisy. But then I came home and I lived in silence. God was nowhere to be found. And thus began my taste of the dark night of the soul. Now, a dark night is a concept that I'm still trying to understand. There are certainly parts of it with which I identify. Sandra Kronk describes a dark night as this: the situation of those who have had a growing sense of relationship with God and are suddenly bereft of an experience of God's presence, direction, and consolation. As I talked about this with another who had gone through her own dark night, she described how often this experience serves as a way of God's reordering. The old ways that used to work for us to connect with God don't anymore, and that is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a time for growth, deep reflection, and intense seeking, but this can be exhausting. And that darkness hovered around me for the rest of my junior year. While I could tangibly feel the darkness slowly turning into light, I still had yet to see that sun. The fall of junior year, I remember so clearly sending an email to my mentor saying, I can't quite name why, but I just don't feel whole anymore. I'd experienced questioning, loss, hard conversation, and a new normal that year, and I had not fully recognized the significance of this yearning for more of God and not finding him until I came across an email from a mentor where she wrote, about your feelings of being damaged and not quite whole anymore. What I know is that a whole new world opened to you on your cross-cultural. God stretched you as you experienced life and the lives of others in ways you never imagined. In so many ways, you experienced God's Spirit, moving through some of the amazing people you encountered, and you noticed God in different unique ways and situations. I wonder if what some of your sensing and feeling is that you're just plain lonely for the closeness you had to God during those times. And those words rang so true in my ears, but I continued to deal with these feelings of being not quite whole, and I began to wonder if wholeness would ever be known to me again. In January of junior year, I went away for a retreat with Campus Ministries, and as I entered into a time of silence with God, I decided to utilize Lectio Divina with 1 Corinthians 13 and allow God to bring out just what was meant for me in this passage. And I began to read the chapter, and my breath caught as I reached verse 12. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Just as now God knows me completely. Any feelings of being damaged, broken, or incapable were seen and known by God. When I felt as though he had all but forgotten about me, leaving me to be shattered forever, he showed up. And within a week of reading that passage, I encountered two other biblical women who resonated so profoundly with my sense of darkness, forgottenness, and brokenness. I was introduced to the story of Hagar. The Lord found her in her desert place, rejected, abandoned, and thirsty. And in her time of loneliness, God didn't just provide her with a drink. He gave her a well, filling her up, forming her back into a way in which she once knew. And so she calls him Elroy, the God who sees me. And once again, I was enveloped in the truth that no matter how damaged I feel, God sees me and knows me completely. Not just a little, not just sometimes, always and completely. And he doesn't just offer me a drink, he offers me a well, abundantly more than I can ask for or imagine. And similar to Hagar, we find another broken and rejected woman in Matthew 9. This woman has been bleeding for 12 years, and she's heard of this Jesus and the many miracles he's performed. And she thinks to herself, if I can only reach out and touch him, then I will be free from this. And that she does. And Jesus finds her there and says, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. And I began to wonder if that's all we really need for Jesus to do his work, to find courage and strength to reach out and let him heal us, like Hagar, to allow him to find us and meet us where we are and begin to take the crushed pieces of us and turn it into something beautiful. because brokenness can be beautiful. It is a gift to be bound up again by the one who sees us. And since that last year, there have been moments when the brokenness has come in waves that overwhelmed me, and in turn, there have been days when things felt a little more normal. Yet I was always left with feelings of not quite there. But at the end of this past summer, I experienced that wholeness again. It was not grand or overpowering. It was meeting God as I sat on the couch, looking out our window one morning, and it was like I heard Jesus say, "I see you, and take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." No matter where you are on that road, whether you're navigating your own dark night or not, may we never pursue this for God who sees us. May we take comfort in the wisdom and truth of Charles Spurgeon, a British preacher who said, "He alone can heal, and he delights to do it. It is our Lord's office to bind up the brokenhearted, and he is gloriously at home at it." Thank you.
So, especially for students, where do you find yourself on the faith formation journey? Come on up, but I have more to say. Take stock of that along the way. Journaling is wonderful, a way of marking what you're experiencing, your relationship with God, yourself, and others over time, but conversation with other people, whatever form of reflection serves you well. Thank you, Ben and Janaea and Lydia. Pray with me. God, thank you for being with us, for guiding us, for strengthening us, for comforting us, for disturbing us, for challenging us, for unsettling us, for disorienting and reorienting, for being with us through the journey of life, and for these three reflections as examples of how you're with us uniquely in the college years. It's different for each one of us, we know that, and yet your deep love, transforming love and grace are the same. Be present in the lives of each one here and each one not here, who's part of our campus community and the families and friends beyond. Amen. Again, on Friday, the Student Recognition Chapel will take place here. There'll be so much happening that it won't fit within the 30 minutes. We know that already. One department is ready to launch today, and that's the music department. Come on up, and then we'll do the summer cross-cultural sending.
My name is Joan Griffin, and on behalf of the music department, Ryan Kiba and I would like to present the 2017 Senior in Music Awards to Jacinda Staley and Jonathan Bishop. Please come forward. Jacinda went above and beyond the requirements for a degree in music performance, taking advantage of every opportunity open to her. She served the campus and local communities with her musical gifts on many occasions, enriching the environment for all. Her most notable performances on campus were as soloist in the Brook Violin Concerto with the EMU Orchestra as a sophomore, first violinist in the Outreach String Quartet, and soloist in the Mozart Sinfonia Concertante with Quinn Katharineberg and the EMU Orchestra. Jacinda has also played for many services, commencements, baccalaureate concerts, and homecoming events at EMU. On top of playing in a variety of ensembles, she often took responsibility for organizing the players, finding appropriate music, and arranging all the musical details for the event. In addition to her violin playing, Jacinda has been a soprano with chamber singers for 2.5 years. Thank you, Jacinda, for giving so much to EMU and the wider community. You used your talents to benefit others, and we are sure you will continue to do so in the future. Congratulations on the Senior in Music Performance Award.
What can I say about John Bishop? John Bishop is a fine musician. He's an expressive, concise, and sensitive composer. He is an adept leader. He understands the demands and subtleties of great music and performs with insight. It has been a joy to observe his interaction with music and musicians here at EMU and on numerous choir tours throughout the East Coast and Midwest. His relationship with his colleagues is exemplary, and it is clear that they value and respect him greatly. The music department faculty derive a great deal of pleasure from and take pride in their musical and other associations with him. To be sure, John's accomplishments, potential, leadership, and talent are recognized by his peers and teachers. He is nonetheless modest, generous in his recognition of the work of others, and grateful to his associates for their contributions to his happiness and accomplishment. He interacts beautifully with people and is known to be a person of integrity. It is a joy and a privilege to know and share music with John. The music faculty have no doubt that he has the intellectual capacity, foundation, experience, and musicianship to guide and inspire others, and we look forward to witnessing his continued growth as a composer and leader. Congratulations, John.
Good morning. My name is Andy Miller, Director of Cross-Cultural Programs, and one of the things that we recognize this time of year is that our semester is coming to a close. That can be good, that can be scary. But with this, we will soon be departing and spreading out throughout this fine city, the state, the country, and around the world. We'll be engaging with those familiar to us, we'll be engaging with those and working with those that we know. But we also go into new places. We get to know new people. We'll learn new customs. We immerse ourselves with the new, the unknown. And this summer, we have five programs heading out with our cross-cultural programs. I'd like to invite participants and leaders of those programs to come up while I'm introducing sort of who we are. So if you'd like to come up to the stage for the prayer, you can come on up. We have five programs, and two of them are six-week programs. One is a Radical Europe program, learning about Anabaptist history and theology in contemporary Austria, Switzerland, and Germany. We have a six-week program, and that's led by Kim Schmidt and Seth Miller. We have a six-week program to Spain, led by Adriana Rojas, Patrick Campbell, and Barbara Beyer. We have a three-week program to the Navajo Nation program in Arizona with Jim Yoder and Gloria Rhodes. A three-week Bolivia program led by Linda and Brian Martin Burkholder, and a local context program led by Byron Peachy. I invite those of you who wish to come up and lay hands and pray with and commission these students and leaders for the summer to come up at this point. And Lana Miller, undergraduate campus pastor, will lead the prayer for them. So if you'd like to come up, please do so.
Let's pray together. God, we acknowledge that you are present with us this morning, that you are present with us each day and wherever we go. This morning, we especially ask your protection and blessing on each of the students and leaders who will be traveling to Bolivia, Navajo Nation, Europe, Spain, staying in the local context. We also pray for those who will host them along the way. We are grateful for your desire and willingness of these students and leaders to step into unknown places, to grow and learn and be challenged through this cross-cultural experience. God, we ask that you open their eyes to the extraordinary world that you have created, that they would have hearts and minds of curiosity, openness to seeing you in unlikely places, and that they would care for one another along the way. May you be evident to them in moments of loneliness, in moments of fear or anxiety, and also in times of joy and discovery as they learn more about who you are, about others, themselves, and this wonderful world. We pray for the safety and health of each one, not only them, but the people that they meet and for those whom they leave behind. May the people that host these groups have energy and wisdom to best know how to introduce them to the context in which they live. We pray for the group leaders, Linda and Brian Martin Burkholder, Gloria, Jim, Byron, Kim, Seth, Adriana, Barbara, and Patrick. Give each of them the wisdom for the journey and the ability to sense your presence along the way. Thank you for the opportunity that each of us have to be travelers and learners, able to risk stepping out of what's comfortable and into a world where we become more vulnerable and dependent on your love and protection, and dependent on the community that we form and experience from and with others. In your mercy, we pray. Amen.